Good morning. The Board of Supervisors is now in session. Would everyone please rise and join me in a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone. May we have any changes to the agenda, please?
You have a couple of changes to today's agenda. Under added items for closed session, under pending litigation, you have number 11, Heritage Ranch Owners Association versus County of San Luis Obispo, and Borsati versus County of San Luis Obispo. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. You have an amendment to your adjournment today. You need to adjourn your today's meeting to the City-County Library on March 29th of 2005 at 10 a.m. for a Board of Supervisors workshop session. Under consent agenda, you have a couple of amendments. Item B6, submittal of a resolution approving 15 committee appointments and 12 alternate member appointments for the Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Water Resources Advisory Committee, all districts, recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Due to technical corrections, pages 4, 5, and 6 of the staff report need to be replaced. The amended pages are attached for your approval. Item B8 is request to approve revised bylaws for Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 9, Advisory Committee, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th districts, recommend approval. Due to technical corrections, page 3 of the staff report needs to be replaced. The amended page is attached for your approval, and that's your changes for today.
Thank you very much. This is the time for any member of the public to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda for the day and is, within the purview of the board to do something about. So I have one request to speak for him, the Reverend C. Height.
I'm Reverend C. Height, MA Public Advocate. Every elder and disabled person who finds their way into the courtrooms in San Luis Obispo County is Social Security eligible and underserved. You are in crisis. I'm asking the County Board of Supervisors to withhold budget funding from county public health and social services until which time they can become affirmative action compliant and cease discriminating against select clients who require county cooperation while applying for Social Security benefits, including disability benefits. Who is going to benefit from crisis in Social Security? The unusual competition and evolutionary pressures which dictate the strong and the rich with attorneys will be the only survivors, the counties. In violation of the Olmstead Plan, receiving health and human services funds, not providing services, and institutionalizing the baby boom generation is already big business. Lois Kapp is holding a community meeting today at noon on the future of Social Security. I have concern that Social Security is the essential benefit which can protect independent living, but will become an exclusive institution based on its crisis status. Let's take San Luis Obispo County as the example. The county has no fewer funds than the poorest of counties, yet has a public health, human services, affordable, and public housing crisis prior to state budget cuts. The county board recommended devaluing the ADA at a time affirmative action was a hidden process. We have a disabled crisis. Should these community problems affect Social Security as a federal agency? Somehow it does, as discrimination is prevalent and a matter of attitude. In cases of disability, Social Security must have the cooperation of county providers such as public health and human services. There are people working hard for their Social Security benefits which suffer temporary and early disability and can access no benefits, none, due to non-cooperation by county providers. The employees at this federal agency who have incredible job security live in this community and are affected by its values. Those values are saving a buck at the disadvantage at the disadvantage of the least. The exclusive appearance in San Luis Obispo County is reliant on low growth and county crisis. Once Social Security has crisis status, something predictable happens. Human nature facilitates selective success and failure and screens out those who have less opportunity to survive, including survive the process of red tape and bureaucracy. This is instinct. Only the strong survive when there is less to go around for everyone. In 1998, the county asked Social Security for its cooperation after providing a litany of reasons to not cooperate with my family, which was a violation of court order. The gullible, the faint of heart, the polite, the underserved will not survive this. This is bureaucracy at its blackest, as facilitated by the county.
Your time is up, Ms.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. I have no other request to speak forms for public comment. So with that, I will close it to the public. And at this time, this is the time for the consent agenda for public comment. I have one request to speak form, Eric Greenick.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and this is on item B1. I realize this is just the setting of a hearing and not the hearing itself, so I won't address any details. I just want to say this is a very promising thing to be having a hearing about. It has to do with some of the very geologically unstable terrain behind Cayucas, where just about every project is problematic. The Planning Commission will be hearing another one on Thursday, in fact. And, of course, it's also a very important view shed for the people of Cayucas. And it appears that by setting this hearing, you will be giving an opportunity for many of these very problematic lots to be retired. And so I just think this is good news, and we need to relish good news when we see it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yes, it is good news. I have no other request to speak forms for the consent agenda, and I see no one standing up. So with that, I will close it to the public for the consent agenda and bring it back to the board. Mr. Ovitt, do you have any items you'd like to pull?
No items, Madam
Chair. Mr. Patterson?
No items.
Mr. Lenthal?
No.
Mr. Shajan?
None.
Well, then, I have none either, so.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Okay, we have a roll call, please.
Mr. Shajan?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes, if the changes to the items were included in the motion. Okay,
thank you.
Yes. Okay, with that, we will move on to our first hearing item. This may be one of our fastest meetings on record.
Yeah. Item C1 is a submittal of a resolution to vacate a portion of Willow Drive, a purported public road in the community of Los Osos in the 2nd District. This item was introduced on March 1st, 2005, and recommendation is for approval and instruct the chairperson to sign.
Yes. May we have an introduction, please?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Madam Chair and Honorable Board. I'm Tim Smith, your county right-of-way agent. The adjoining owners have petitioned this vacation to extinguish a cloud of title and clarify the boundary of their properties. Said property is a purported public road, undeveloped, unimproved, unused, and not in the county-maintained system. Public Works and Planning Department support the vacation as it is unnecessary for present or prospective public use. County Planning Department conducted a conformity report received by the County Planning Commission on January the 27th, and it was approved by your board on March the 1st. The required posting and publishing of all notices were completed. There were no written or verbal objections to this vacation. Los Osos Citizens Advisory Council and CSD were notified of this action and at this hearing. County Council has reviewed and approved the said resolution before you today. Findings in fact of this particular item is that the vacation of the subject road will not impair public or private access. A vacation of subject portion of road will not affect existing traffic circulation. Vacation will not has been impassable to public travel and no public funds have been expended on this portion. And that this vacation is in the public interest and that the county will extinguish certain right-of-way interests and allow consolidation of property interests. Again, the department recommends adoption of the subject resolution. I'd be happy to answer any of the questions you may have. And I believe there might be some of the property owners in the audience.
Okay. Are there any questions by board members of staff? I see no lights, so with that, we will open it to the public. I have one request to speak form. Eric.
Did the applicant want to go first?
Oh, geez. Thank you. I'm still driving that highway. It was kind of a trip down here this morning.
I don't know if he's here.
Is the applicant here? Does the applicant wish to make a statement?
It's not an appeal.
Eric's not an appeal.
I'm here. Okay. I am Eric Greening, and a couple of weeks ago when this was being set for hearing, I recommended that the record of your decision include the minutes of the relevant Planning Commission meetings. It still does not. In my opinion, you can only find this vacation in the public interest if a conservation easement is achieved. Evidence was presented to the Planning Commission, and this was discussed twice, that this is an Escher riparian habitat and that it is not in the public interest to simply give it up to private property owners unless those private property owners are parties to an agreement to preserve it as the valuable habitat that it is. This was thoroughly discussed at the Planning Commission. I would recommend, if you're not going to find a way to put a conservation easement on it at this time, that you continue it to investigate those possibilities and also to be sure that the Planning Commission minutes are part of your record because they are very important to the decision you're going to make. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Eric. Linda Hall.
Good morning. My name is Linda Hall, and I talked with Eric earlier this morning and really didn't know too much about this item, but now I do, and I told him I would chime in with my 2 cents worth because he explained it very thoroughly to me, and he had more than 3 minutes to do it. So my main input would be probably that if your Planning Commission recommended something, they're pretty much in place, is my understanding, to screen things for you because there's just too much. The 5 supervisors couldn't handle, I don't imagine, with things without the Planning Commission. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. I think that it would be well to follow or not necessarily follow what they say. You are the ultimate decision, but at least, as he says, have the information a little bit more complete than it possibly may be. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Pam Hetherington.
A good soggy morning to you all. I am Pam Hetherington, Executive Director of the Environmental Center. I, too, want to support Eric Greening's comments regarding a conservation easement for this small piece of property. Rather than having it go to the owners who could probably put something on top of it, I would definitely support you looking at a conservation easement. If anything, it could become native habitat again. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other request to speak forms on this item, so I'll bring it back to the board. And yes, I was going to ask Mr. Lindholm to make a comment, and he wishes to make one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just speaking to the issue of the conservation easement, the issue is what the county has the authority to condition the vacation on. And the board and the county cannot exceed the scope of the original easement given to the county by the offer of dedication. That original offer of dedication was for a public road, and that would include putting pipes and utilities in. But we do not have the option of imposing a condition which would change the scope of that easement. We couldn't require a county park. We couldn't put a building on it. We couldn't do innumerable other things because they would be outside the scope of the easement. The question of whether or not the property owner would be willing to agree to some sort of a restriction on the property is another issue. I don't know whether that's been discussed or what the position of the property owner would be.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any other comments by board members? Yeah, this time for the board.
Madam Chair, I do see from the aerial photograph that was given to us that the area within the easement is contiguous with the riparian and woodland cover that's there now. If this easement is vacated, do the adjacent property owners then have the right to go back and utilize that area any way they see fit? And what are the ramifications of not abandoning the easement?
Mr. Lindholm?
The answer is yes, the property owners, if we abandon the road, then vacate it, then the property owners would have the right to use it unless there are other legal restrictions on the use of the property. In the future, they could do so. So I think that would be the issue for the board in looking at what the property owner was willing to do.
And the property owner is not here, but there's nothing to prevent the property owner from coming in later, is there? I mean, after this meeting and requesting a conservation easement, Mr. Smith?
Well, there are provisions. I was notified by the planning department that in the event there was something that triggered a development plan or a building permit or some other such use of it would bring the matter back for compliance of other conditions that might be brought forth. But again, this is merely extinguishing a right-of-way easement, a purported county road, which was really never built, never intended to be built since 1948, I believe, my birthday. And so the intent is that it hasn't been used, and it's this is something that would be just extinguishing from the county participation, extinguishing our public claim as a road use.
You want a motion?
Yes, please.
Madam Chair, I would move for staff's recommendation for the abandonment.
Second. Okay, that's your light?
Yeah, that's
okay. Maybe we have a roll call, please.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Lindholm?
Aye.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes.
Thank you.
May we have an introduction of item C2, please?
Item C2 is a hearing to consider an appeal by Santa Isabel Improvement Committee, David DeBink, Planning Commission's approval of a minor use permit, coastal development permit, D000131P, to modify Santa Isabel Avenue, approximately between South Bay Boulevard and 7th Street, for the purpose of slowing vehicular traffic and increasing pedestrian safety in the 2nd District. Recommendation is for denial of the appeal.
Thank you. May we have a staff report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board.
Okay. I never know who's giving it.
Mike Wilkin, County Planning Staff. As stated, this is an appeal of the Planning Commission's approval of the Santa Isabel Traffic Calming and Pedestrian Safety Project in Los Osos. This is a project for which the applicant is the Public Works Department, and the objectives of the project are to slow traffic down on Santa Isabel Avenue to about 35 miles per hour through various traffic calming measures, also to provide pedestrian access across and along Santa Isabel Avenue, and to improve the appearance of the road corridor. The features of the traffic calming project include various improvements between South Bay Boulevard and approximately 7th Street, and those include 8-foot-wide landscape median islands at the intersections with the odd-numbered streets, raised and colored striped crosswalks at certain intersections, and striped crosswalks at all the intersections. And the other project features include pedestrian walkway almost the entire length of the corridor between South Bay Boulevard and 7th Street, curbs, gutters at the intersections, bus turnouts, and improved street signs and striping. This shows the location of the corridor. Santa Isabel Avenue is a collector street in Los Osos. The corridor is about 7/10 of a mile in length and extends from South Bay Boulevard to about 7th Street. And I'll show you a few photographs of the corridor just so you get a feel for it. These photos are taken starting at 7th Street looking east. And so this is at the 7th Street intersection with South Bay, with Santa Isabel Avenue. This is looking east at 12th Street. And this is looking east at 16th Street, and the signal at the very background is South Bay Boulevard. As you can see, the corridor is fairly straight. There are no walkways, and the road is conducive to speeding because of its configuration. Now I'd like to summarize the main appeal issues raised by the appellant. There actually are several other points that the appellant raised, and they're addressed in detail in the staff report, and staff is happy to answer any questions about those items. But the main issue that the appellant raised is that there should be more extensive landscaping as part of the project. And the project does include some landscaping. It includes low native shrubs in the median islands that are proposed, and also revegetation of disturbed areas. The main problem with including more extensive landscaping in this project is that a maintenance entity needs to be in place to guarantee future maintenance of the landscaping. It could be a special district or a community organization. Some other group needs to step forward and assume maintenance. And to date, that hasn't happened. Another problem is that there is a limited budget for this project. There are grant funds, and there's not enough money in that budget to pay for extensive landscaping at this time. However, extensive landscaping can be added in the future to this project if future maintenance of the landscaping can be assured. So if a community group steps forward and guarantees future maintenance, then the landscaping can be added at a future time to this project. It doesn't have to happen at this time. One of the other appeal issues is that the original motives for the project were first beautification and then traffic calming. This is a neighborhood-driven project. It's been around since about 1995. And in 1999, there was a consultant named Judd Consultants that conducted a survey of area residents. The survey, I think, was for was sent to about 1,000 residents, and they had about 200 or 300 responses, a very, very high response rate for that kind of a survey. And the survey identified pedestrian safety by far as the top priority, followed by community quality, including things like lighting and beautification. So those priorities were reflected in a year 2000 project description prepared by the initial consultant, Judd Consultants, and that those priorities were also reflected in all the subsequent designs of the project. So it was primarily pedestrian safety, traffic calming, and beautification that were the original priorities. In conclusion, the proposed landscaping in the project at this time generally does follow the original intent. More extensive landscaping can be added later if an organization will assure maintenance. The project has been designed to calm traffic or slow it down while meeting engineering standards and satisfying the fire department. But delaying the project at this time would just jeopardize the funding, as this project depends on grant funds, and they need to be encumbered by about late spring this year, or the funds could be lost. Staff's recommendation is to adopt the resolution denying the appeal of the Planning Commission's approval of minor use permit, coastal development permit D000131P. And that concludes the staff's presentation. Are there any questions?
Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wolkin, in the staff report you talked about. Discussed the landscaping and the potential. Actually, the appellant raised the issue of using reclaimed water. And the comment was that the landscaping calls primarily for native plants and low water use plants and won't need a permanent irrigation system, but I'm curious to know how you anticipate establishing the landscaping once the project is installed.
The landscaping will need to be established, and it will be watered by the Public Works Department, I believe through a truck that they have, and if someone from the Public Works Department is here, they can hopefully add to that. But I believe that is planned for as part of the project. Initial watering to get the plants, native and low water consuming plants, established probably for a period of a few years, I would imagine, and then they probably wouldn't need periodic watering after that. The plants that will be selected for the landscaping will have to be off of the planning department's list, and they'll have to be native and low water consuming.
Mr. Flynn is here from Public Works. Katja, would you like to have Dave?
Or maybe if I ask the question, Dave can answer at the same time both of our questions.
Okay. Just wait a minute, Dave, to Acacho's.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My thoughts are such that if you can do the conduing for a water source, even if you don't do anything, it saves you so much money in the future, then you can have just a drip going around the vegetation on a timer rather than when the trucks come, they spray quite a bit and seems like a waste of water and waste of manpower if we just can do the conduing now and plug it and keep it there for future use, if that can be accomplished at this time.
Dave Flynn with Public Works Department. Certainly what you talk about irrigating a broad area, utilizing irrigation system would be more practical. On this type of area where we'll be doing revegetation plans at specific locations along about a three-quarter mile section, we would really propose on putting in the just watering it by truck as described by Mike. We are working on other types of systems like up in Cambria where we are trying to put in that irrigation system. We run into the same issues though about long-term maintenance of the irrigation system, operating the system as well as providing water for the system. What we've traditionally been doing is, with the revegetation plan, just going in there and selectively watering for plant establishment and then maybe doing some long-term maintenance for weed control, and that's it, just to minimize what our time and effort is into it.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions of staff? If not, I will open it to the public, but actually the appellant gets to come first, and you get 10 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is David DeBink. I live at 1147 9th Street in Los Osos.
You can pull that speaker out, David.
That's it.
I live at 1147 9th Street in Los Osos and have funded the proposal, but on behalf of the Santa Isabel Improvement Committee, which has been a homegrown betterment entity that's been active since 1994, and I've been a part of this for much of that time. And what we have here is a project that was completed, at least at the neighborhood level, about 5 years ago and turned over to the county for processing. And somehow in the processing, it's lost several of its very critical features. And I would like to ask that those features be restored to the project so it has integrity with what left the community 4 or 5 years ago. We're asking the board to validate and support our local effort. It's something that involved hundreds of people working over a 7-year period. In September of 1990, the project was turned over to county staff for environmental reviews and finalizing engineering details. And 5 years later now, the staff has completed its processing. And now there's a sense of urgency to get it started in the next few months. But in the years the project was under study, the significant changes were made that weren't consistent. They dropped the landscaping component, except for plantings and medians, and the Public Works Department set aside the intersection design standards and pedestrian safety features that were developed by our consultant and substituted features that reflect countywide standards. They redesigned intersections to actually provide for turns at even faster speeds than the existing geometry provides. Our request then is twofold. Restore the landscaping. Specifically, ask the county to earmark $25,000 of the project budget to go to this purpose. And it's saying that we need a processing entity. LOCAC is newly organizing a TLC unit. TLC stands for Trees Landscaping Committee, to oversee this program. Second, ask the design engineers to base intersection design standards on those developed for the community by its consultant. In no case should the design allow for higher maneuvering speeds than the present roadway. It is not authentically a traffic calming program if it does that. And I might just note that the county's engineers entitling the project have not called it the traffic calming project, but this is the plans for intersection widening. So this is the thing that came through the process. The one that went into it with my time limit in mind, skip to something that's directly online here. The staff report gives you basically three reasons not to support my proposal. First, they say that the landscaping is an addition that, while a good thing, should not absorb the funds that are available for physical improvements. They talk about it being a hardscape. We need to protect this, they say. Second, there desperately is a need for an NE to accept responsibility for maintenance, and none is available. Lastly, there's the issue of time. If any changes get made, they jeopardize your funding. So those are the arguments. I have several speakers here that can address each of these issues, and I would ask that you allow them to speak after me. Keith Weimer was instrumental in getting everyone moving on this thing back in 1994, and he's going to explain that the beautification elements of the project aren't add-ons like they're being treated by the staff. The federal program that would pay for this is designed to provide these amenities. The staff has it exactly backwards. The hardscape that they wish to protect is an add-on to the beautification program, which is where the funds are coming from the federal source. Eugene Judd, the community engineer that was hired, is here to address the pedestrian safety issues and also stress the importance of the landscaping component to the traffic calming effect. And perhaps most importantly, Linda Owen is here from LOCAC to tell you about her committee's TLC initiative.
Just ignore this light. Continue, because we don't have a 10-minute clock, so we have
to. That's my 3-minute clock.
Yeah. So
okay.
Just go ahead.
We can do that three times, but I don't intend to, so don't worry. I wish to present to you several pieces of additional information here. One is just an exhibit. I was just going to show you one of several things coming from the community meetings. And we had charrettes in the community to develop this design. And this is showing the Santa Isabel corridor. And I'm not asking you to look at details, except to look at the beautiful renderings of native plants that someone put all along the tops and bottoms of this. And I just want to show you how the landscaping as presented into the community was an absolute integral part of that program and proposal. Then I have an additional thing, and I can hand this out to you. I'll keep one. These are conclusions from the community workshop. And staff is presenting the landscaping as being a minor feature, or something that only exists within the center islands. And I just will briefly read this, not all of it, to you. The two most important additions are gateway treatments at 17th Street and landscaping along Santa Isabel. As a safety feature, these items would create a visual interest in edge and canopy, which all help moderate traffic speed. Aesthetically, these improvements make a positive statement that the community has self-awareness and concern for its own environment. It was agreed by those in the workshop that as much money as possible should be spent on landscape. And I will let you read the rest of this, but Mike Wolken and I had a discussion yesterday where we were arguing about who had the proper project description, and Mike submitted that the landscaping was only in the project description within the medians. And he asked me to prove otherwise at the board meeting, and I hope that I've succeeded in doing so. The final thing that I wish to submit to you is a letter from Jeff Loring. Jeff picked up the mantle that Keith put aside at one point when other things distracted him from working on this. And Jeff brought me two huge boxes that represent all of the community stuff that's gone on this thing. And his letter says, just in part, "For this reason, I state my opposition to the project as presented to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors because it does not represent the project as conceived and developed with the community." So I pass this to you. And then I just wanted to do one more thing that was in the box that struck me as a monument to this. This is from 1995. And these are support letters from people in the community that are wanting to have the traffic improvement, traffic calming program, and I might just add from the preamble, in addition to landscaping along some of the under-improved easement at the front of this. And this is signed by all of the Baywood Park merchants, and then I just go through pages of letters from parents talking about safety of their children. Now, all of them saying that this is a project that should take place, and this is something that should happen. And this list of downtown Baywood merchants, I've got Don Eduardo's Coffee Things, Salty Pelican was there then, Sculpted Egg, Baywood Liquor, Jocko's, Noise Tie, the whole crowd, every owner is there. So this is something where people in the business community wanted to have Santa Isabel be this street that would bring them into the Baywood Center. There are people like myself whose access ways to the rest of the world are along Santa Isabel, and then there are the people like Keith Weimer at the time who are living directly along Santa Isabel, all wish it to be quieter, improved, and most essentially beautified, and nothing done to speed up the traffic that's all there. And both of those components, unfortunately, are things, the lack of the landscaping and the speed up are something that happened while the thing was sitting in the, quote, process that was done by the county. So just in conclusion, I should make it absolutely clear that I'm strongly in support of the project, which is, I guess, unusual for among your opponents to things, to have somebody say that they think it's absolutely great. The pedestrian walkway is the most expensive component of this thing. It's greatly needed. If it goes in, it alone would justify, in my mind, the project.
Mr. Dubbing, actually, those were 2 5-minute sessions with the clock.
Then I will. The board here has an opportunity to make the project even better by restoring things. And I think it's an act of respect for the hundreds of volunteer hours that went into this and the business persons to go along with the community's wish. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I usually call people's names in order in which they've submitted their yellow slips. So, and I think everyone here is acquainted with the fact that I call two names. I'm just talking to the general public.
Oh, I was just going, is it possible to have the...
Well, no, because I don't know which ones are which.
Oh.
And actually, we'll just take them in order. So I'll call the first name, and then I'll call the second name, and the second person can go to the opposite microphone. And you'll have 3 minutes. The clock is green for 2 minutes. It's yellow for 1 minute, and then it turns red, and then you will conclude. So the first name is Eric Greening, and the second is Keith Weimer.
I'm happy to wait for the rest of the people with the applicant if that's what they wish to do.
Just go for it, Eric.
I'll go for it. Okay, I am Eric Greening, and my inclination is to support the issues the appellants are raising so long as it does indeed not delay the project and does not endanger the funding, and I hope we can get some clarity about that. However, there is an issue on the county's proposal side that I wish to preserve and another issue that I wish to bring up. The item that came up in the county process was at the Planning Commission, where the Planning Commission agreed to specify something that you should appreciate today if you've been around the far side of the building, namely that the bus stop shelters have rain gutters. Since most of the people who implement these plans don't ride buses, they don't generally realize how important it is. But I would invite you to inhabit one of these shallow bus stop shelters and wait for a bus on a day like this and see how wet your feet get due to the lack of this very simple appliance. So I would hope that whichever way you go on this, that you very clearly specify to carry forward the Planning Commission recommendation that any bus stop shelters start setting a pattern that may prove possible and standard countywide, that any bus stop shelter actually provide shelter for the whole person, including feet. The other issue I'd like to raise, if you could turn to page C215 on condition 16 to clarify what the actual application of the Arts Council would be in this project, because I don't think it's clearly understood. It says, plans for these items, including the public art, shall be submitted to the planning director for approval and shall be referred to the Los Osos Community Advisory Council and the County Arts Council prior to planning director action. This has it backwards. You're not going to have plans until you have selected the artist. And the Arts Council's role is to jury for the artist. We all know there are a lot of wonderful artists in Los Osos. All of us have our favorites. But using public money, you don't just step in and pick one. You go through a jurying process, and the County Arts Council is the people that do it, or are the people that do it. They have a public art committee. The other thing to recognize is that if there is a budgetary constraint and the public art threatens to go, let's think outside the box. The bus shelters themselves can be public art. Public art can be three-dimensional, like a standing sculpture in a median. It can be beautifully, artfully decorated bus shelters, or ideally, it can be both.
Okay, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Keith Weimer, followed by Bud Stocking.
Madam Chair and distinguished board, my name is Keith Weimer. I've lived in Los Osos since 1990. I lived right along Santa Isabel at 1191 12th Street for a period of about 6 years. And as David mentioned, I believe was the first one to think that and to begin to organize people around the idea of improving Santa Isabel. At one time, even Bud Laurent called me Mr. Traffic Common of Los Osos. I'm here today to support David's appeal because, as he mentioned, it has changed a lot from what the public conceived and wanted to have put in place. When I collected a lot of the signatures from the business owners in Baywood, their emphasis and the way that I was able to get them interested in the project was because it was going to beautify. I was one of the three or four people that wrote the original Transportation Enhancement Activity grant, and the name of the project was the Beautification and Community Access Enhancements. In fact, I remember many discussions with Richard Murphy at LOCOG in which we discussed how a T-grant technically goes for beautification and enhancements, not so much for purely for traffic safety, but we were able to get the grant on the basis that traffic calming combined both so well. And so that's a disappointment to me. As Mr. DeBink said, I've stepped away from it some, but now that I see it coming back after 5 years, and I'm elated. I'm elated that something's going to be done, that safety will be enhanced to some extent. Our original belief and traffic calming was, by the standards that Mr. Judd first presented, was able to lower traffic speeds to around 25 miles per hour, which would have made it a much more safe street. I think that that after 5 years for it suddenly to become an urgent matter is something that's a little surprising, and I believe that with the creativity of staff, the funding can be preserved so that this is indeed a traffic calming project, one that preserves the important beautification element that that the community had in mind. I think Mr. Dubinka has come up with a very good solution, and that is to allocate some of the money to LOCAC so that they can work with community members and work with people along the street to address the impacts, because each individual, I'm sure, their buy-in will be to the extent that they participate in how things look around there. So I think with LOCAC working on a community level to address that issue, it would certainly be a good solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Bud Stocking, followed by Julie Tacker.
First of all, I apologize. I've never been to a board meeting before, didn't know how they worked. I only brought one copy of a letter that I brought. My issue that I have concerns about, Mr. Dubink was nice enough to provide me with copies of the plans for the project, and I found that the sidewalk, the meanders, could cause a problem as far as the percolation of water in my area and causing me flooding. So I gave you a letter on that. I do have issues with that. I also have problems with the whole project at this time, in the fact that Los Osos is still trying to get the sewer project. With if the people will ever admit to the fact they change oil filters in their cars, they change air filters in their air heating units, but they don't believe the filtration in the ground is becoming oversaturated anyway. When the sewer project goes, they're going to tear San Isabel up. I've worked construction, I've worked underground, I've worked for plumbing and piping contractors for years. And when they start trying to trench down that Santa Isabel, and if you've got medians in there for them to try and get by there and try and control traffic through it, it's not practical. To put in any sort of landscaping right now on sidewalks, when they come through there and start trenching with their heavy equipment, they're going to tear them up. All it's going to do is make the project, the sewer project, cost more for repairing the damage done to it. Anyway, I do have problems with it, with the project even going on at this time. And the other thing is the long-term maintenance. As far as putting the plants in right now, any vegetation, it looks good when you first put it in. We don't have we're not a city. We don't have community services. We don't have landscape people to take care of landscapes. It's going to turn into weeds. You'll be watering weeds. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Julie Tacker, followed by Eugene Judd.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker, a 34-year resident of Los Osos and a homeowner near Santa Isabel since 1988. I think my name is probably signed on one of those papers in that big box that Mr. Dubink has. I support the project. I have children that travel that road. I personally walk that road most mornings. Traffic calming is a good thing. I encourage the community of Los Osos to adopt this basic infrastructure improvement, one that's been needed and one of the first in many years. I'm encouraged by LOCAC's new TLC committee chaired by Lindy Owen. She'll be up speaking later. Trees Landscape Committee. There's a real interest in beautifying all of Los Osos, and I think LOCAC is the place to start. I know I've had a conversation with the president of Concerned Citizens of Los Osos, Keith Swanson. His organization has just through their own little short agendas discussed possibly adopting Santa Isabel. I even had a conversation with Los Osos developer J.H. Edwards Company. He is interested in possibly adopting this roadway once it's improved. Some of you might know the median at South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road there near the Ralph's Complex. I've seen the man out there pulling weeds himself. So I think he's got some interest in also keeping Los Osos beautiful or making it more beautiful. I offer my services as a lifelong volunteer to assist in coordinating community groups, individuals, whatever it takes to, as funding is available, to improve this. But I think it's important that we do adopt the improvement because it's much needed infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Eugene Judd, followed by Lindy Owen.
Yeah. Dear members of the board, my name is Eugene Judd, 665 Left Street, San Luis Obispo. We had a lot of fun with this project, I really can say that, together with Dave Flynn. I have a simple message. Landscaping was always important. We have the records to prove that. We have a plan here. It's not the last one, but let me show you quickly.
It will save the dream if you hold that. This is the whole story. It's not the final project, but when you see this plan...
Mr. Judge, you have to be at the microphone to be on the record.
This plan, you see that in every alternative we had, the greenery was important. That's all I wanted to show you with this. Point number two, the project was changed later to widen intersections again because the county has some norms that were not really clear. The issue we have here is every city and every county has that. We either believe in traffic calming, which means curb radius are smaller, and then the pedestrians have a shorter distance to cross the street. That's for their safety, and that's the dilemma. So you cannot use norms that are 20 or 25 years old where every intersection is the same. You should have here norms, differentiated norms for traffic calming, because there's different type of intersections, and then the Public Works Department should be able to apply these. That will help you. It's a political decision, and then it will take the technical people, help the technical people. Let me have a look on the overhead to explain the technicalities of an intersection. The picture, please. Yeah, not the word. Yeah, we get it. Do I have to point it over there? Is that the best, or can I do it here? Doesn't matter. Okay. The picture of the intersection that I gave you, it's coming. Yeah, wonderful. Just put it up like that. Okay, you can see the intersection there. It's a little bit tricky, but here is a main street. In this case, it has four lanes, and here is a side street, a collector street or a residential street. Now have a look at this curve here. When a car comes, even a car may not even be able to always stay on the right side. If a bigger truck comes, which happens once a week or so, the bigger truck will probably either have to do this or will stay on the right, as it should, and will swerve out a little bit for just 10 yards in the other direction and then go back again. This is no problem as long as the volumes are small, the traffic volumes on this side. And why is this curb radius so small? That's just 1 meter here. Because we want the pedestrians to be safe and have a short crossing distance.
Mr. Judd, unfortunately, your time is up.
Yeah. So I would just say you have to make certain differentiated norms and guidelines that are politically made. And there is many people who have done that. Other towns, there's consultants who do it. I have 20 examples in my office of such traffic calming. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comments. Lindy Owen, followed by the Reverend C. Height.
Good morning, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I'm speaking on my personal... I'm not speaking as a LOCAC member, but I have been involved in forming the tree committee. We are just beginning to form, so this is a little preliminary to be commenting on what we might be interested in taking on with the traffic calming with a tree planting and vegetation on that area. I think one of my concerns is the original project had 20% of the budget was committed to the landscaping, and so now we're looking at zero. And I really appreciated Cacho's suggestion of at least funding the pipes, the water piping through there, whether it become an area for effluent release or hook up to regular watering. it sometime in the future, I'm pretty sure that it would be important to have that, or certainly useful. Another suggestion might be that what I understand is that $25,000 was set aside from the project to have project inspection. And what I might suggest is not to want to ask too much, but to request perhaps one half of that money be put into a fund that could be, it would be like an endowment that could be handled by LOCAC. And that would go towards future equipment that would be needed for the project. For instance, the drip lines and the trees themselves, and possibly art projects could be funded out of that on a long-range basis, so that there is a little bit of money set aside for future maintenance. And then we would do probably an adopt-a-street program is one potential way to have the maintenance done and the tree planting. And I think Los Osos could rally forward very easily. I've got Gary Carner, landscape architect, is all very interested in helping us and producing the landscaping plan for it. I understand that many of the neighbors were disturbed or a little unsure of supporting the project, excuse me, because of the possibility of having their views blocked, and I would just like to say that that would be certainly part of the consideration. We would be looking at native plants and drought tolerant to begin with, just because that makes more sense, I think. I guess that's all I'd like to put in. I do think if the endowment could be established with one half of the money that was going to be used for project inspections, it would give us a great start and probably secure the care of the medians possibly and the future landscaping. I also wanted to suggest that Audubon just did a mitigation, a tree bank mitigation, and they received a watering truck, so I'm sure that we could use that ourselves on a volunteer basis to help establish the beginning landscaping.
Time is up, Lynn.
Okay, thank you.
The Reverend C. Height, followed by Pam Hetherington.
I'm Reverend C. Height, MA, public advocate. I want this board to respond to the most important concern here, which is pedestrian safety. I moved to Los Osos in 1997 while attempting to negotiate services, but chose to move because it was automobile-oriented and inhospitable to pedestrians. I ask you to make this decision on an ADA-compliant issue, an ADA-compliant one, and that's the Americans with Disabilities Act, which has yet to be undermined. As a disabled pedestrian transporting to and from Los Osos and attempting to make my way along these roadways, it remains a hazard to me. The same board members would convince me that the issue of people competing with vehicles is not remediable through an unmet need transit complaint process. Pedestrian safety is an affirmative action issue and is now in this boardroom as a county issue. I ask you to consider the pedestrian, because the county has a very poor track record. Example, your new social services has beautiful landscaping to calm the workers who drive to work, but no pedestrian entrance to the facility. Ironically, people that need the provision of these services are penalized for having automobiles. Pregnant women with strollers, multiple children, elders with walkers, persons with wheelchairs are endangered by the landscaping, which blocks the view of the pedestrian who are forced to enter through the driveway. This means you have a history of ignoring pedestrian concerns, public safety, and disability compliance. This is a disability compliance issue, which includes the ability of persons of all disabilities to ambulate to bus stops in safety in Los Osos. This is a disability compliance issue because parents are asking you to improve Santa Isabel and prevent disability in their children. This is a disability compliance issue because people with disability, including low vision, will become housebound rather than continue to risk dangerous pedestrian situations. I will be presenting to you a copy of The Pedestrian by Ray Bradbury, which I did name the Quill and Scroll Honorary Society after my favorite author in 1969. As the chapter president, consider that your pedestrians are also tourists. Choosing to walk rather than drive should be encouraged and demands consideration and safety. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Pam Hetherington, and that's my last request to speak for him, so if there's anyone else, please fill out a form and turn it in, please.
Pam Hetherington, Executive Director of the Environmental Center. You have the makings of a grassroots community project before you today, complete with native landscaping, perhaps some wildflowers, something that is a boost to community, gets people outside, gets them bending over, exercising, gets them talking to their neighbors, slows down the traffic so the children are safe. I urge you, with whatever you can do, to make this project happen with the landscape that the community is asking for. And I offer the services of EcoSlow to help organize the community, secure plantings, wildflower seeds, whatever we can do to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I see Mr. Murphy frantically writing something. Are you going to speak?
I'm just making myself available to answer any questions.
Well, I was going to ask. I was going to ask you to comment when in just a few minutes. Okay. So with that, I have no other request to speak forms. I'm going to close it to the public, and I'm going to ask first Mike Wolken, and then Richard Murphy, and then Rob Lewin, if they would care to make any comments. Mike, do you want to respond to any comments?
Mike Wolken, County Planning Staff. There's been a lot of discussion about landscaping and how important it was, and I think it was an important component of the project. However, as far as we can tell, and Public Works can verify this, it's always been underscored to the community that the landscaping needed to be maintained and that there needed to be an entity to maintain it. In fact, I was looking at the project description from 2000 prepared by Mr. Judd, and it does talk about the fact that it talks about landscaping in the islands, which is part of the proposal, and it says that if citizens fail to maintain the plants, the county reserves the right to pave the islands over, which is not part of the project, but I think it was recognized in 2000 that there was a need for a maintenance entity, and that is the board policy, and I believe that's what has been conveyed to the community. So the county does not oppose the landscaping, but we're looking for somebody to step forward to maintain it. Also, there was some more extensive landscaping that was included at a previous time. There was a row of trees for the entire length of the corridor that was part of the project, but after the county received a petition from neighborhood residents objecting to that because of loss of views, that was deleted from the project. Again, I'll just state that additional landscaping can be added to this project if there will be a maintenance entity that will assure that will happen.
Okay. Kotcher, did you have a specific question?
I can wait till you're done with the staffing.
Okay, because I would like to have Mr. Murphy comment on the grant and then Mr. Lewin on the turning radius on the intersections.
Good morning. I'm Richard Murphy with SLOCOG. Just a quick few comments, and then I'll discuss the funding. The community group certainly were very visionary 10 years ago bringing this project application forward. It really met the intent of this funding program. It's a community enhancement funding program, and in hindsight, there were a few issues that we perhaps should have looked at more closely relative to design standards, relative to what was in their concept plan, as well as these maintenance agreement issues. And those are lessons learned, and as we program funds now, 10 years later, we have the applicants come forward with these agreements because we don't want to commit funding without assurances for the long-term maintenance, as well as issues of design standards. We would hope that there'd be discussions with the engineering staff, with police and fire, to make certain that the concepts are compatible with their issues. And if there are things that need to come forward before the board to look at those design standards, we would hope that those efforts would be made. So with that being said, there have been a lot of good comments this morning relative to putting hardscape down that may potentially be torn up due to the sewer installation. That would be an inefficient use, obviously, of funding if that were to be the case, and perhaps some consideration should be looked at phasing this project so that the pedestrian component, perhaps outside of any of the sewer project, could be installed first, as I'm just sitting here thinking about this, as a address the pedestrian face component first, because that clearly is an issue. And those petitions that were brought forward, the you know, those children that they were, you know, referenced 10 years ago are all grown. We have a new generation of children out there, and the sooner that that issue can be addressed, the better. Relative to funding, SLOCOG has been patient with this project, been working with the county to see this come forward, understanding the permitting issues, we're understanding this is the North Coast, and understanding the community issues and wanting to see resolution as best as possible. We have told the county that these funds need to be encumbered by the end of May, meaning submit your design plans to Caltrans so that Caltrans can lock those federal dollars in so they won't be lost. That's what we need. Those design plans could be submitted by that date. And quite honestly, if there are some fine-tuning, such as adding conduit for future landscaping so that isn't precluded in the future, that could be done after or even before that those plans are submitted. So that I see as a logical addition to this discussion.
So you're saying just the plans have to be submitted. They could be tweaked later if necessary.
That's correct.
Okay.
But, you know, within a reasonable time frame.
Right. Yeah, not 10 years or 15 right. years, but
Madam
right,
Chair,
precisely.
I think
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Murphy, I think one thing has to be stated, that all projects right now that have been lingering as long as these stand to lose their funding if they don't move forward. That's just not Los Osos we're picking on. This is a thing with all funding and all federal or state funding right now. There's been too many projects sitting out there waiting tenured. You know, this one's been longer, but. Ones in San Luis, everything. So it's an issue right now, and getting this submitted and getting this forward is the ultimate priority right now, or they lose their funding.
That's very true, because SLOCOG will be considering a new cycle of these federal enhancement funds very shortly, and if this project were not to move forward, we'd want those funds to be made available to the next wave of applications that come forward. I'm hearing everyone in the room saying they don't want to see this project go away. And we included, we see there's very good project components that should go forward, and we hope that those can be addressed.
Okay. I have a couple of more lights, but I'm going to wait because I want to hear Mr. Shajian and Mr. Patterson, but I want to hear from Mr. Lewin on because the subject came up about the width of the intersections.
Hi, Robert Lewin, Fire Marshal for CDF County Fire, which includes the community of Los Osos. The South Bay Fire Department, prior to CDF becoming the fire department there, participated at all levels during the review of the project, and many concerns were brought up by the fire chief at that time and were addressed by the engineering department. I have contacted the engineering department previously and was reassured that the issues for fire engine access and turning radiuses would be accommodated, and I'm glad to continue to participate that to ensure that occurs. If there's some specific questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
So these intersections are no wider than they need to be?
They're tight. They're tighter than a regular standard, but we understand that although we prefer that roads are wide and easy for us to access, we do understand that there are other safety concerns besides fire engine access that have to be addressed and throughout the county, and these concerns come up, and as a form of compromise, we work with the engineering department to deal with these things. I think traffic engineer Flynn has some diagrams that may show the intersection and the things that they've done to demonstrate that a fire engine can still access.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Dave, did you want to make a comment?
Yes. Dave Flynn with Public Works Department. On looking at some of the standards for the intersections, we're working with existing road widths, which are not really great to begin with. They're about 20 to 24 feet wide on the side streets. And so to be able to put in some small radius return just isn't feasible.
Yeah, and that's the microphone you have to speak right into, because otherwise we can't hear you.
Very well. And when we look at these radiuses, we're not changing them that much, but by introducing these islands, which is a traffic calming feature on it, it does push the edge of the pavement out, and we're trying to replicate essentially the same turning radiuses that exist in these locations already. We're talking about 20-foot radius returns, which generally we would see in larger areas 25 or 30-foot radius returns. Also in this area, what we're trying to do with the traffic calming is to stripe it for 11-foot wide lanes, which is smaller than our regular lanes, so that we can fit in both the bike lanes through this area as well as the lanes. If I might add, just on the process that has been taken on, this has certainly been a very community-involved process for the first 5 years as we were developing it. Then it shifted gears and it became a complete environmental documentation process, which is where it's been at for the last 5 years. But in that process, we did want to do that overall survey because we wanted to make sure that there was general acceptance of the traffic calming, the scope of the project, because we didn't want to put in something in there that we would then later have to take out. So we felt very comfortable moving ahead with this project in the state that it really is in today, in terms of the size of the roadway, the traffic calming objectives, and then working with the constraints that we have with this project for funding, the maintenance issue, as Mike brought up. Those are the issues we're trying to work through on this project to get it on the ground. In the future, we certainly would welcome adopt a highway systems that would do landscaping, just like in Main Street in Cambria, where the Land Conservancy stepped forward to do planting and maintenance of that stretch of the section through town. And that's always available for future implementation. We will be putting together revegetation plans for these areas that will be reviewed by Planning Department to be done as a condition of the mitigation through the environmental document as well as the regulatory agencies. Certainly the pedestrian facilities to really work need to be put in all at once. Primarily they're on the south side of the roadway, so they will not be perhaps in the way of future sewer construction. But those need to be completed to really function. The landscaping certainly can be put in over time through various other future commitments.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just one other thing.
No, wait a minute. Mr. Dubink has not had an opportunity to rebut. So you have 5 minutes if you wish to comment on anything that's been said to this point. But I wanted you to hear what the staff people had to say.
I think all the comments that were made are clear. And one of the things that I did not say earlier, and I regret not including, and that is while I may not agree with Dave Flynn and intersection design matters, that the man has been almost inexhaustible in being present at the community meetings and interacting, providing materials to people, and I really have appreciated the opportunity to be working with him as a staff person. It seems to me that the portrait that's been put in front of you is accurate, that is, that you have albeit not the guaranteed sort of thing that we're now hearing the staff require us, but we have a multiplicity of entities in Los Osos. We have LOCAC that says, well, yes, try us on this thing. We have the possibility of the J.E. Edwards Corporation adopting one of these streets, which would be an interesting thing to see for me. So there's a number of activities that could be the recipient of the trust on this. But to me, the important thing is that it's not so much that these are things that should be add-ons in the future, but these were things that were central components to the project as it was sold to the community, and I think that's what they expect to see. And there's been this round of approvals and reviews, but I don't think people knew that the landscaping had fallen away. And now the thing that's left is the revegetation of areas that get scraped, and there's nothing else. And again, I'm asking you as the board, it has nothing to do that jeopardizes the funding on this whole thing, to just simply say that a portion of the funds that's been suggested it be on the order of $25,000, which is something actually that comes out of a discussion that I had with Mr. Flynn, would be enough probably to buy starter materials. And then, of course, there's the risk that they all die. But we have these entities that say they'll help, and I think we should trust them. So I would urge you to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. With that, I will close it to all of the public and bring it back to the board, Mr. Shajin, and then Mr. Patterson, and then Mr. Ovid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of questions, a couple of comments, if I may. Mr. Flynn, can you go back to the picture you had up there? I know that time and money is of essence, but looking at that little island, any consideration of moving that backward to save future hassles? You might have some residents moving in, and they sometimes drive rental trucks that they're not accustomed to driving, so any size can create any problem there. If it's traffic calming, what is the catch if you were to leave it at the spot that it is, or moving it back several feet? I'll ask the questions one at a time.
Yeah, if your question is to perhaps relocate that island so that it's not in the area of the intersection so that there wouldn't be conflicts with turning vehicles, yes, that could be done. But part of the effectiveness of placing the island at the intersection is to shorten that pedestrian crossing, which was noted as a key element for safety, because we would be placing like an 8-foot refuge island out there for pedestrian crossing. Plus, just the visual appearance of the island would be more effective for calming the traffic at the intersection as opposed to, say, mid-block or a point farther off. We have checked the turning radius, though, for just what you're talking about, the U-Haul truck, who's someone not experienced with. And it's the width that we would have here in the turning radius is still sufficient for someone to negotiate that.
I see your point, and I've seen them some intersections or the sidewalks, or not the sidewalks, but crossings, don't have the traffic lights to help them, but they do have a separate location with different colorings. Because right intersection, you have too many things going on and probably safer to relocate. But I see your point. And I'm also assuming that the sidewalks will have the handicap access as you build. Going back to the point I made earlier with I think we should, whatever we do, we should do everything that's going to be needed in the future so that we don't go back and cut the ground and re-cement or re-asphalt. Some of the successful items we have done countywide, and in Nipomo is Adopt a Road, which has been very successful with cleanup and all that. We're looking into adopting a tree in the parks, but we have done it in the city of Oregon, where everybody plants a tree, takes pride in the ownership of the tree and the landscaping around it, and by putting a little name tag. Number of those ideas can be very well accomplished with the spirits that we felt here by the community members, and with numerous organizations I know aware of. Rotary Club might take over a landscaped area, and maybe in return they'll have a little name tag on the ground someplace that landscaping adopted by Rotary Club. It's just like the Caltrans does. Those are ideas that should be thrown in. But in the past, when we had a time frame for amount of dollars given to us, and I don't want to gamble with this, but is there another project that can also use this money, that they have money that can be, with no time attached to it, that can be used in the near future without losing what's available for here? Is that mechanism
If your question is are the funds, could these funds be used on another project?
Without losing another project that also has funds, but in the past we had some money available for us for Old Town Nipomo and some money for Los Osos. One was state, one was federal with some conditions attached to it. We were able to switch the monies for the same amount and nobody got hurt, but we were able to do what we wanted to do our way. Is there anything, another project that might be available that has the money but doesn't have the time frame, that you can move this money that comes with a time condition to this project?
Yeah. I see about protecting it by exchanging money to preserve this project funding and not risk it in the competitive. You know, unfortunately, because of the money's been spent on other projects, like in the Palma or other locations, there really is not a balance of funds that we can trade out at this point. And it becomes a subject, or it becomes a determination that the SLOCOG board would have to make in the future funding cycle of the transportation enhancement funds, which this is a part. And that's something that Mr. Murphy said they would be coming in forward with another cycle. So it's more of a competitive process, so the funds would still be in that mix. And since this is a project that started really about 7 years ago on that funding cycle, it's reaching the end of the current cycle.
Yeah. My last comment was, if TLC is not it's in place, but I don't know if it's a nonprofit organization, but I'm assuming that EcoSlo can come into the picture and accept money by the committee members, where they can write it up by donating to EcoSlo, and in return will come back to either do landscaping or maintain the landscaping. There are a lot of avenues to work. My concern is whatever we can do so that everything is in place in case the rest will come into reality, they can do it without having to go and cut and be more expensive to do landscaping in the near future.
If I may, along those lines, what we had looked at potentially doing was, you know, setting aside a portion of the money, and like the $25,000 you've kind of heard by a few speakers, of being able to buy some landscaping up front and just using that as a materials hold that we could still bill against the funding source we've got. For our department, it's the long-term maintenance and commitment to the landscaping that we don't have funding to provide. And that's the opportunity, as many speakers have said today, we can move forward with. So if we have an Adopt-a-Highway program, which we are implementing in Cambria under the same type of process, we can, you know, potentially set aside some funding there just to buy the materials of initial landscaping.
Well, I'm going to break in here because I wanted to comment on the plan for Cambria when the Cambria Land Conservancy, which is a subchapter of the Slo County Land Conservancy, or Land Conservancy of San Luis County, when they asked to take over the long-term care and maintenance of the median and strips and the Main Street Enhancement Program, they submitted a very careful plan, both to me and to, and I think I passed it on to Public Works. It was who was going to do what, when, where, how long. It was a very well done plan. I would want to see something like that submitted by EcoSlo in conjunction with the subcommittee of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, which is the TLC. It's a subcommittee of LOCAC. I mean, there would need to be a or Rotary Club, whatever, but there would need to be a well-established nonprofit who would be willing to help put together one of these plans in order to receive the money. In my mind, it would have to be defined ahead of time. The next light I had was Mr. Patterson, Mr. Obit, and then Mr. Lenthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My issues parallel what Supervisor Sajian and Chairperson Bianchi has have addressed, and what I don't want to see happen is a community effort that's gone on over a long period of time be changed through the county's manipulation of the project. And it really sounds like the issue before us, the primary issue, is the fact that there was no one willing to commit to taking care of the landscaping portion of that project over the long term. It sounds from testimony today, though, that sentiment has changed, and there are people in the community that do want to see the traffic calming goals as well as the beautification goals of this project realized. And I get a sense, Mr. Flynn, that you have allowed for some money to be somewhat flexible as far as implementing a landscaping portion of this project in the future, and I'm wondering if it is possible to indeed set money aside to be used by community groups that may come forward or that must come forward in the future to accomplish the landscaping and beautification from the landscaping component of this project. So is that indeed what you're doing with this $25,000, making it available to implement the landscaping portion?
Well, two things on that would be, first, the landscape plan. In discussions with Mr. Dubig, he had suggested we have a much more formal landscape plan, and we did not really have a budget for hiring a consultant to do that. And that kind of goes to what the chairperson is discussing about having that plan up front. But certainly the materials, that would be something that, since the application for this funding included planting, we can talk to Caltrans about authorizing the material acquisition, you know, in the amount of, you know, $20,000 or something in that area. That was what was stipulated in the original application.
Okay. Mr. Ovett?
Yeah, I need to probably come back to what this whole thing about is. The issue is not enough landscaping. It has nothing to do with the road design or anything else. It was basically most of the application here is not enough landscaping. And when I go to the conditions, what I see is that a landscaping plan will be submitted. That what your landscaping is doing is putting low water, low growing shrubs into medians, their restoration of the native species in areas that were disturbed. And there's planting and planting of bare soil surfaces that were disturbed with native vegetation. So we are revegetating what's being done. What is being said here, they want more. And what I hear Public Works saying is that within the monies that we've gotten for this grant, because you're not going to go out and get any more money, we're going to put this whole thing together, and the community can put in more landscaping if it wants. We're willing to work with them. And we're going out on all these other tangents that I think what we want to pay attention to is that this project was, again, traffic calming with landscaping. And I can recall some years back this came before the board, or this was a big controversy, even with the entry gates. You know, we still have the big entry gates, and there's going to be public art in these things, so there is a tremendous maintenance issue that's going to go with this project. And I don't see at this particular point losing the funding to get one of the main objectives done on this thing, which is the traffic calming and the capability for pedestrians to walk up and down that street.
Yes. The, you know, I want to reiterate that a landscape, that the plan for the maintenance of the landscaping can come in at any time in the future. An assessment district could be formed. People in up and down Santa Isabel, there's all sorts of mechanisms that can take place to provide the funding for long-term maintenance. And that can come in the future so long as we have the plan by the end of May, so we don't lose the funding. Mr. Lenthal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question for CDF, Robert, if you could stand up, please. And I'd like to back up to the median. Supervisor Sajjan asked a question about moving it back and tweaking it somewhat. My question, Robert, for you, from a practical standpoint, with the reduction of 5 feet of that turning radius, how tight is a right turn? Is that for our current fire equipment and possibly for future larger trucks? It seems like every time we get new trucks in the next few years, they're going to be larger and larger. Are we creating something that really is going to be a safety hazard when somebody's running in a Code 3 fashion to make that turn?
The CDF standard in this county for a turning radius is 25 feet. That's what we tell developers when they're coming in. However, if an engineer can demonstrate that a fire engine can accommodate the turn, then we look at that. If there's some way they've mitigated the turn, the traffic engineers have assured me that our large fire engines, 8 by 30 feet, can make this turn. Therefore, we are okay with that. We may have to swing out, but that's something that has to occur in downtown San Luis Obispo and other communities that are designed for pedestrian pathways. We realize that. We believe that they have accommodated our fire engines in this turning race. It will be different for us than it is now. We understand that.
Thank you.
Okay. I have no other lights.
Do you want a motion?
Yes, please.
Well, I don't see the reason to uphold the appeal, so I would move to deny the appeal and allow this project to move forward. per staff's recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Since this is my district, I can't make the motion or I can't second it, but I would have made the motion and I would have seconded it. Then we have a roll call, please.
Mr. Eldent?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. And as soon as the community can get together with the plan, we will work on that. Thank you very much. With that, concludes our morning hearing, except for closed session. Is there anyone here? Would the people leaving the room please leave quietly? Is there anyone here who wishes to address the board on any closed session item? With that, we will go into closed session in at 10:45, and we will return down here after closed session.